Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. Glad to be here. It is Monday night, 10 p.m. here in Calgary, Alberta, June 24th, 2019. Glad to be here. And hopefully you're having a good night. And I appreciate everybody who's taking the time to listen to my shows. And I just want to thank you. And hopefully you're getting something out of them. I know that I do. It helps me stay on my healing journey. And also I just like to be a voice of hope out here for other survivors of abuse. You know, I know it's a hard road, and you know, you want to make sure that you get help, you know, that you get support, that you get help, you don't struggle on your own, and you know do the best that you can to have a good life, right? We certainly deserve it, just like everybody else, and we're coming from behind the eight ball, that's what I call it. So you know, you need to be sure and reach out and get help, and you know, whether it's counselor, therapist, or if you don't like that, you know, there's group support. That's what I like. I like safety in numbers for me. And so, yeah, but whatever you choose to do, make sure that you get some help. So I just like to be a voice of encouragement. We're looking at, we're going to continue on with Havoka's information, looking at their information about boundaries, boundary issues, which are, you know, can be a major problem for survivors of abuse, because abuse breaks boundaries, and sometimes there is no boundary set, you know, in an abusive household or abusive environment of some type. So for me, it's a huge issue. I've had to work through a lot of boundary issues, and so that's what I'm interested in, this article that I'm looking at from Havoka, H-A-V-O-C-A, Havoka.org. So that's what we're going to continue looking at here tonight. And, you know, if you're a survivor of abuse, I was tell people, you know, make sure that you're safe enough to be listening, because, you know, this type of information, anything like this, can trigger a survivor of abuse, any type of abuse, so whether it be child abuse or domestic violence or whatever. So you want to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening, and if you're not sure, get that information. You can get that from several different places, but there's one place that I know of that has a Survivor to Thrive workbook. That's the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and More Center Program. We have a Survivor to Thriver manual. I'm a facilitator for a survivor support, survivor online survivor group for child abuse survivors, adult survivors. And so that book's helpful, very, very helpful. And in the beginning, part of that book is a safety first chapter, sort of teaches you how to know whether you're safe enough to, you know, to do this type of work on your own. Or maybe, you know, it'd be best if you had somebody with you, or, you know, or talk to your therapist about it or your counselor. Sometimes, you know, this sort of stuff can trigger people, and then you end up going backward in your healing journey and having a horrible day or a horrible night, and might injure yourself or injure somebody else. And you just don't want to do that. So if you're a survivor of abuse, you make sure you're safe enough to be listening. And if you're not sure, then turn the show off and don't listen to it, and just go and find out about safety first. Make sure that you are safe enough before you listen to anything like this, whether it's my show or somebody else's, right? And if you're anybody else, you listen at your own discretion. I'm talking about abuse, and abuse is a very sensitive topic. It makes a lot of people very uncomfortable. And, you know, I've had to live with this my whole life, and so, like I say, I'm okay talking about it. But, you know, a lot of people would find information like this disturbing, and so you want to make sure that you're okay to listen to it, and if you're not, just turn it off. You won't be hurting my feelings at all. So we're going to just get right in here. This is, let's see here, get over to my page. It's Avoca, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, .org, and they have survivor information for survivors tab. And if you go on that website, click on that tab, it brings up all these different topical, you know, areas that you can get the information. There's all kinds of good information there. And under this is actually under personal boundaries. So we're looking at personal boundaries and we're looking at choices right now, the choices part of it. So how am I doing? I'll do an evening reflection here. I had kind of been putting that off, but we'll go back to that. Evening reflection, how are we doing on our healing journey? This is something that, you know, I do check in with myself, maybe not necessarily daily, but I'd say weekly. I check in sort of with myself to see how I'm feeling, how I'm doing, what I need to work on. Sometimes things just come up that cause me to kind of regress a little bit, then I have to go back and, you know, do some sort of self-nurturing or whatever, some sort of meditation work or whatever it is, you know, to get back where I was, you know, into a better place. So, but I would say I don't necessarily do this all the time. But it's good to check in and see how we're doing, you know. And if I wasn't doing this show, I'd probably put it off even longer than that. But because I do this show, I sort of do think about it. Because I know that the show's coming up, and I sort of think, well, how am I doing? You know, I have been putting some stuff off, but I try to keep going and, you know, progressively working through my own journey, which is dealing with CSA child sexual abuse right now, sort of mainly. I said put that off because that's what I was talking about on my last show there, because my husband passed away, and it just was too much to deal with at the time. And so I'm going to go back to that. I'm starting to feel a lot better and a lot stronger. It's almost been a year since he passed away, and so I'm in a better place now, and so I may eventually, this towards the fall, go back and start revisiting that and relooking at that and move forward in it. So otherwise, I'm doing pretty good on my healing journey. I was doing a lot better in the springtime with self-care, and the summer has come around, and I've sort of gotten lazy and put some things off that I need to do, but I am working on quitting smoking, so I've got a vape thing. So I'm trying to do right by my body and by my whole self, you know, just the whole self, body, soul, spirit. And so I do have things I need to work on, that's for sure. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll start looking at this article here. I'm not going to reread what we were looking at last week, because you can just go back and listen to that show if you want to. I'll just pick up where we left off. This is about owning our choices, knowing that we do have choices and that we need to own them. Right? This is, I'm just quoting from their page here, even with life events that occur in a way that we seemingly don't have a choice over, for instance, like being laid off, work, the car breaking down, a flood, etc., we still have a choice over how we respond to those events. And it says we can choose to see things that feel like and seem to be tragic as opportunities for growth. We can choose to focus on the half of the glass that is full and be grateful for it, or to focus on the half that is empty and be the victim of it. We have a choice about where we focus our minds. I like that. It's just so true. That's where, you know, that's where I was talking about last week, because they had mentioned this earlier in the article there, and we were talking about it last Monday, and it's just a lot of times how we see things and how we choose to look at things. I know sometimes, you know, too many things happening all at once can really drag a person down, you know. For instance, if you got laid off and then your car broke down as well, and then you had a flood, which, you know, can happen, right? Sometimes then we start to feel like we don't have any choices, right? And it all seems very tragic and all bad. But I choose to, even in the midst of that sort of stuff, still look at the positive. Because for 42 years before I started my healing journey, I was wasn't doing that. I thought I was, because I felt like I was a strong person to come through what I had come through, through the abuse that I suffered, and I never really got any help, and struggled along, talked to a few people, close friends about stuff, but never dealt with any of my abuse issues. And I had a lot of problems, a lot of traumatic memories, and I would say probably PTSD, I wouldn't doubt it. And I just had never dealt with stuff, but I still thought I was really strong and that I was capable of doing things, and always tried to be on the positive side, even in the worst of situations. But I was not looking at things from a survivor point of view. I was looking at things from a victim point of view. And so I saw myself very much as a victim until the age of 42, when I decided all of a sudden that I'm a survivor. I'm no longer the victim. I'm a survivor. And so it's good to be on this side of that. 10 years later, I started my healing journey in 2007, but I never did much work in it until 2009, started working on it, and did the bulk of it 2010 through 2012, right in there. So I'm a long ways from that. But the thing is I still remember what it was like to be there, looking at things, the glass half empty, life is so hard. Well, it is hard. It's hard for everybody. And I mean, some people, we all think that somebody else's life is better, but everybody's got troubles. Everybody faces the same things. Some people just have a little bit more money to work with than others, but that doesn't mean that their life is any easier. It really doesn't. They're facing the same health issues. They may have more money to get more medical attention, but if they've got cancer and they're dying and it's terminal, they're in the same boat as the next guy. It's kind of, life is tough, aging, aging or health issues or, whatever the issues are. And then coming from a past of being abused is horrific. So not only do we have our daily, day-to-day issues that come up as adults, then we've got this past baggage that we're dragging around, right? So it's difficult, very, very difficult. And I didn't look at things from a survivor point of view and get any real work done until, obviously until after I started my healing journey. But I've come a long way. Excuse me, my voice is terrible today. I've been just up for a long time. I've had a very busy day, actually. And it's tough. It really is. I mean, it's not easy to choose to feel, to take something that's tragic and take some sort of tragedy and horrible stuff going on in our life and say, oh, it's an opportunity for growth. Because it doesn't feel like that at the time. It feels like a real letdown, especially if you don't have the money to pay for things. If you get laid off from your job and your car breaks down, you're screwed. It's like, and for some people they say, well, you could always walk. And it's like, well, somebody like me has a hard time doing that because I've got a bad ankle and hip problems, and I can walk down the street, but as far as any real hefty walking, it's going to be painful, and then tomorrow I'll be lame. So not everybody can do these things. It's not easy for everybody, right? But I think that we can, learn to sort of learn that these things actually will help us to be stronger. That's what I'm doing, because my husband just passed away last year, and I always felt strong apart from him. We were not like, it wasn't a codependent relationship, really, in a negative sense. We were codependent, in a healthy sense. But I didn't feel like I needed him in order to feel strong. I felt strong apart from him, as my own person, in my own self. I felt that I had a lot of strength and proved it through the years, just being able to work full time as well as look after him. And then proved it again by being the last person with him, palliative health care. I'm the one that actually was administering the morphine when he died, right? He passed away. So I was with him, and I basically sent him off. It's just the way palliative home care works. You either do it, or you got to have a nurse do it, or a doc, or they won't have a doctor doing it, but they'd send a nurse to do it. But my husband wanted it just to be me and him, and I was okay with that. But I've got, we all have our issues that we have to see either as something that's just ruined our life, that's the glass half empty, or something that has really made me be able to prove to myself and to the world that I am actually a really strong individual, that most people have no idea where I'm coming from and would have no idea the amount of strength that it takes to get up. And, you know, as a child being abused, to get up off the floor, you know, and just continue to endure and endure and endure, right? It's incredibly hard. And then as an adult, you know, to watch your husband suffer for 17 years and knowing that there's nothing you can really do to help him but just love him and care about him and care for him and be there for him. And then when he does pass on, you know, that beautiful relationship is gone. And then to have to get up the next morning and realize that the one person that was good to me in my lifetime is gone, you know. Like, that man loved me. He was very good to me. And I was good to him, and it was a great relationship. We had a wonderful, wonderful marriage, and it was healthy completely. And but I have those memories, and I have all of that great stuff that I can hold on to. See, and that's, I would wish that for everybody. Not everybody finds that. It's unfortunate. But I know it's difficult to see these things as opportunities for growth. You know, it is tragic. It is hard, and I think it's okay to accept and acknowledge these things as being hard and difficult and not say, oh, it wasn't that bad, because that's that whole denial type stuff. You know, if you start saying, oh, it wasn't that bad, you know, like I've heard people say that before, talking about their childhoods, especially if it was a bit abuse, you know, abuse going on or whatever, and they're kind of like, oh, yeah, but I didn't suffer as badly as the next guy, or, you know, my life, it wasn't that bad, you know. And it's okay to own our hurts. I think we need to. I think we need to own the pain. Otherwise, we're just in denial about it, you know. So, yeah, these things are tragic, and they are difficult, and it's tough, you know. I mean, if I don't get a job soon, I'm going to be homeless. I won't be able to do these shows anymore. So nobody wants to hire me, but that's okay. You know, I have to look at it as kind of like, well, it's an opportunity for growth, you know. And, I mean, I could just sit down and cry, but it's not going to do me any good, you know, to do that. It's okay to feel the feelings, I mean, you know, and go through the emotions and allow ourselves to feel what we need to feel. But to stay stuck in that, that is a setup for more problems, you know. It's kind of like, no, you know, I'm going to, you know, if I need to cry, I'm going to cry, but otherwise I'm going to get up and I'm going to go again tomorrow. And I'm doing it for nobody else but me, because I do matter, I do count, you know, and I have to do this. Nobody's going to do it for me, you know. Nobody's going to take away my pain. Nobody's going to take away the stuff that's going on in my life. Nobody can. Even if they wanted to, they can't, right? It's truly up to us. We do have a choice, and I like what they said. We have a choice about where we focus our minds. So what I do is I go ahead and allow myself to feel feelings of whatever's going on in my life. You know, the death of my husband, or, you know, grieving or whatever. I allow myself to feel the feelings that I need to feel associated with it, whether it's anger, whether it's sadness, just, you know, a little bit of despair in there. Whatever it is, I just allow myself to feel it, you know, to grieve it, to mourn it, to get a little angry about something, whatever. And whatever it is I need to do, and then I don't stay in it. I basically have things in place that keep me busy enough that I focus on something that's positive, you know, and that does help me out a lot. I took up guitar just recently, learning how to play guitar. I've actually made a lot of progress over the year and a half or so that I've been working on it, and I'm actually getting pretty good. And it's just 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a few times a week, whatever. I don't play for hours, and I've actually made huge progress. And it's amazing just over that little period of time what a person can do. Whatever it is, you know, something that makes you feel good about yourself, you know, it's kind of like we have to focus our minds on something that's positive, not just the negative all the time. It's okay to feel those feelings. I don't see things wrong with being upset about being laid off or car breaking down or having a flood, right? Those are upsetting things. It's okay to respond to those in the way that we need to. Like they're saying, you know, we have a choice over how we're going to respond to those events. You know, most people don't jump for joy being laid off, you know, or the car breaking down, right? It's going to cost money, or it's going to be a loss of money, and it could be a loss of a house or apartment or whatever, you know. So it's not necessarily something to jump for joy about. But what it is it moves you to another spot. And a lot of times we don't like change. Change is growth. Growth is change, basically. It's going to happen. Things are going to change. And things do change all the time. So it's good to be able to say, okay, you know, I'm going to treat this as a bit of an adventure and see where it takes me, because there's no guarantees in this life. Growing up abused, man, I knew that. I knew there was no guarantee that somebody was going to come in and beat me up. You know what I mean? Or, you know, sexually abuse me. Right? There just wasn't any guarantees in my house that somebody wasn't going to come and hurt me, whether it was my mom or my dad or my brother. And, you know, I learned really early that there is no guarantees in life, right? And it's a dream, right? It's a dream to think that there is. So my whole attitude is kind of like, well, I had such a horrible, horrible childhood. I'm not going to ruin it by allowing my abuse and the abuse that I suffered to ruin my life for the rest of my life. It ruined my childhood, that's for sure. And then I made some terrible choices as a youth, and especially an older teen heading towards, you know, 19, 20, that type of that age right in there. I wasn't so, so bad when I was a young teen, but I, you know, started getting into drugs and, you know, just terrible stuff. And then by the time I was 21, I was like, no, I got to get off the drugs. I wanted to have a good life. I knew that I didn't want to end up in the gutter, dead, you know, from a drug overdose or something. And like two of my brothers, basically. And it's kind of, you know, it's just, I just knew, you know, that there had to be something better. That's always been in the back of my mind. But I knew nobody was going to do it for me. I have to do it myself. But I'm not an overachiever. That's obvious. Just take a look at my life. I'm definitely not an overachiever. But, you know, what I'm into doing is being doing the best that I can do every day when I wake up. I just do the best that I can do, which means that sometimes it's not that great, but it's the best that I can do that day. And I try to be the best person to other people that I can possibly be. And whether they, you know, if they allow me to be in their life, you know, or whatever, to do that in their life, then that's what I'm going to do. Because to me, life is really short. And we only have so much time to, you know, to try to do the right things, right? Like I wish my parents would have done for me and my siblings. It's such a short time that we have. And, you know, to do the right things by people and to do the right things by ourselves. And we need to take responsibility for those choices. And so, you know, I like what they have to say here a little bit about, you know, seeing it differently. They're saying we could see it as an opportunity for growth. That's what a lot of people like to say. It's a very popular thing to say. I would say it's just as an opportunity. It's going to be a change, which could lead to better things. I know when I started reaching out, it led to better things. It led to me feeling better about myself, you know, feeling better about my life as a whole, you know, and all just because I made the decision to reach out, right? And that meant change. It meant that I was going to have to do some changing. I was going to have to change the way that I was thinking about things. I was going to have to change the way I thought about myself and about my life. And that meant change, for sure. Not physical change. It meant emotional, mental, sort of psychological change in the way that I saw myself, right? So people would say, well, that's an opportunity for growth. Well, it was, you know. And it did help me out a lot to refocus my mind, right? So we do have a choice about where we're going to focus our minds. I really like that. That's awesome. So we'll pick up the rest. There's another section of that article if you want to go read the rest of it. We'll pick it up next week. And that is Havoca, Havoca, Havoca.org. You can grab that under Personal Boundaries tab under Choices. And we'll pick up the rest of that next week. and move on from there to negotiation, boundary, doing personal boundary work. Then there's a help sheet. There's a whole lot more. This is a huge, huge article. It's amazing. It's really good. I'd go check it out. And positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at the positives instead of just focusing on the negatives. Self-nurturing ideas, right? It's positive reinforcement. We could do something that we've always wanted to do. I picked up guitar. I've always wanted to play guitar. And I bought a really cheap guitar. It's really cheap, but it's actually, the sound isn't bad. It doesn't sound completely horrible, but it was really cheap. And I got some cheap lessons, really, really cheap stuff, because I can't afford much. And I'm learning how to play guitar, and I'm getting a lot of free sheet music off online. It's whatever you want to do, right? Do something you've always wanted to do, whether it's something, you know, painting or drawing, or if you always wanted to take up a sport or whatever it is, you know, just do something you've always wanted to do. As children being abused, we certainly weren't always doing what we wanted to do. You know, we weren't even thinking about that a lot of the times, especially growing, you know, if you grew up abused like I did, you know, we were just surviving, right? So just trying to make it through the day and through the night. But now, you know, I've got time, I can do these things and do these things that I always wanted to do. And playing guitar was one of them. We can laugh at ourselves. We can send a card to someone for no reason. We can volunteer some time for a good cause. These are things that we can do. It makes us feel good, like to give of ourselves. We could allow ourselves to make a mistake. That's a good one, because everybody makes mistakes. There's a lot of people out there that think they're perfect, but they're actually not. It's like, I just laugh at people like that. I'm like, okay, have fun with yourself. And then the last one they have here is, don't do something, just sit there. You can always just sit there if you want to. That's a lot of times what I do. I do sit and think a lot. I'm a thinker, and I like to sit and see what's happening in the way that I'm thinking and feeling, and it does help me to keep my feelings regulated. Instead of pushing them off, I just allow myself to feel the present moment. I allow myself to sit in my pain. It's very difficult for, you know, it can be. I wouldn't do it on your own if you're not used to it. But I'm used to it. I'm used to not having anybody around me to help me out. You know, growing up abused in this house full of like 9 people at one point, then it, you know, dwindled down. But growing up with all these people in this house, we were very much on our own, and I was very much alone. And there was nobody to hold me or help me. You know, when I'd be abused, and I was on my own. I'd have to pick myself up off the ground. There was nobody going to help me, you know. So I'm used to sitting in my own pain, and a lot of people aren't. But if you're not, you want to be careful doing stuff like that. But I do allow myself the time to sit and think about things and get things straight in my head. Here is a quilt square meditation. This is really cool stuff. IrvingStudios.com, Child Abuse Survivor Monument. This one is it's for grounding. Things that we can do. We can take a deep breath. We can focus on the present. You need not be in the past. You can feel your feet on the floor, and you can feel yourself sitting on the chair. You can remind yourself of your strengths and your goodness. You can remind yourself of what day it is, you know, the time, the location of the present moment, and what you need to do to be here, in the here and the now, right? You can wiggle your fingers and toes while counting to 10. These are things for grounding. I really like that. That's IrvingStudios.com. And I have one Brainy quote. Brainy quote allows you to use their quotes if you tell where you got them. And this one is an inspirational quote from BrainyQuote.com. And it says, turn your face to the sun and the shadows fall behind you. Unknown. So they don't know who actually said it. But turn your face to the sun and the shadows fall behind you. I really like that. So I wish you a wonderful night. You know, if you're struggling and you're having a hard time, I say this on every show, get some help, you know. I don't care. Call a crisis line. Do whatever you have to do. If you don't have somebody to talk to, contact NASCA. I'm the Alberta ambassador for NASCA. Contact NASCA. There's people there that can help you. You can't get a hold of somebody, just keep trying telephone numbers till you do. Call a crisis line. Call somebody. But get some help if you're struggling and you're not sure how you're going to make it. I've been there. I know what that's all about. And so you stick it out and get some help. Don't struggle. And have a great night, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon.